Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Bravo and the Brits, the podcast with a distinctly English take on all things reality TV. I'm here with Faith, who is about to go and get her first haircut in months. And I am totally envious that you're going to have like a full salon at home experience.
I know, I'm literally so excited. You know, the worst thing is, though, is I'm not a big hairdressery person. Like, I know most people kind of have like a sort of religious thing that they do, where it's like, you know, they get the roots done every 6 months, or they have this and that and the other. I literally, before November last year, I hadn't been to a hairdresser in maybe about 9 years.
Oh yeah, so you have the same attitude as I do, where I just lob it off with kitchen scissors from time to time.
It's literally it. It's like a home box dye that my mom does for me, so I can like not miss any bits. And then I literally will just be like having a shower, and I'll look at the ends and be like, yeah, it's probably about time. And I'll literally stand over the bathroom sink and just be like, cut about 4 inches off, that's fine.
Yeah, this is going to ease you back into a very expensive habit. You do realise that.
I know. Luckily, she's not dying it or anything, because she didn't have time to do a patch test. So there's no dying going on. So I'm hoping that as long as I've got a bit of like shape cut in, I'm just like, that's fine. That's all I need.
Yeah, that'll tide you over for a few months.
The only reason I got it done like in November was because we were going to New York, and obviously I didn't know that Greg was like, but yeah, so my mum and my best friend kind of conspired with each other to figure out how to make sure I looked my best. And my friend was like, you've got to get your nails done. You never really go away. You never really get your nails done. Definitely get your nails done, because she was going to want the picture with the ring, and you'll be pissed if your nails are shit.
Oh,
and then my mum was like, your hair hasn't been done in a decade, but go get it cut. And I was like, oh yeah, I probably should, you know, like a bit of a refresh. So I was literally like fully pampered and preened in a way that I truly never am. And it was obvious they were like, there's gonna be photos and it's gonna be an important event and you don't want to look like shit.
I love that they had that like hidden agenda for your success though.
I know. I love having somebody who truly looks out for me this much.
Mate, that is true friendship right there. And that is true familial love.
Yeah, absolutely. Apparently they were like conspiring with each other every time we had like a party or my friends popped by while Heather was here. It was like, right, so we'll go get this done and we'll send it, get our nails done and this, that and the other. And I was like, oh, guys.
Coordinated plan of attack.
I love that.
Well, I got a dead squirrel in the post yesterday. And I've never been happier.
Genuinely the best gift of all. I mean, I love a spotted taxidermy.
We're naming it Mathieu.
That's a great shout. Really great shout.
Because he has a friend called Matthew that he calls Mathieu. But the funny thing is, someone, because I put like an Instagram poll out being like, oh, what do we name it? Mm-hmm. And someone sent that name in as a suggestion, but having no idea that that is like,
oh, like an inside joke.
Yeah, like has no idea that he's got this friend that's, you know, and I was just like, okay, that's a sign, that's too weird, so we kind of have to go with that. The other really funny thing that happened, and this is, I think I sent you a voice note where I was just like, you're not going to believe what's just happened, but I'm saving it for you, was, okay, months ago when I was still cruising on Tinder, cruising is probably the wrong word, when I was still swiping, living my swipe life, I came across this journalist, and I'm sure at the time I was like, this is my future husband, because he had like a photo in a bombed out hotel room.
Oh, I remember he's like, telling me about him.
Yeah, he's got like ruffled hair, he had like a cigarette, and I was like, ooh, and I love like a TV moment. So he was like a reporter for a news channel. Anyway, we chatted for a bit, got into an argument about the semantics of the war on terror. He called me sweetie.
Oh no, deal breaker.
Yeah, and I just got like annoyed by it. And then he also weirdly seemed to be, I love a debate, and I don't think me disagreeing with you is like an argument.
Yeah.
I think it's good to disagree with people and have a nice chat, as long as it doesn't get like nasty or personal. Yeah. I think it's good to have conversations like that.
Yeah, I think it's
helpful. He was basically interpreting every single time I disagreed with him as like an attack.
Oh no, fragile ego.
Yeah, well, that's the vibe that I got anyway. We never met, like, IRL, so this was only on, like, WhatsApp, whatever. But anyway, it wasn't, didn't end badly or anything. We just kind of fell out of touch, you know, and it was just, like, no great loss on either of our side, I'm sure. So I'm scrolling through TikTok the other day, and on my homepage, there's this video that's like, I fell in love with a man 28 years my senior. We traveled the world and he encouraged me to publish my writing. And it's kind of like this montage of this couple doing all of this like cute stuff. And, yeah, you know, it's like this young girl and this older guy. And I was like, oh, holy shit, that really looks like this journalist.
No.
So I was like, oh, lol. So I sent it to him and I was like, can't believe you've been cheating on me this whole time, like super rude, which I just thought was funny as well, because it's like we literally haven't spoken in like months. And he was like, where did you see this?
Stop.
And I was like, oh, on TikTok. And he's like, what's TikTok? And I was like, oh, it's like this viral video app. I was like, oh, it's like a millennial thing, because also this guy was like lying about his age, right?
Oh my god.
So he was 10 years older than it said on the app, which, like, you know, no judgment, but hon, I'm going to look you up on Company's House, like, yeah, know that, okay? And yeah, so anyway, I'm like, oh, it just made me laugh because it really looks like you. And he was like, yeah, because it is me. And I was just like, what? And he was like, yeah, this is like my ex-girlfriend who made it. He was like, she must be going through a post-infidelity romantic phase. And he was like, I think the first time round it got like 2 million views and like I had to ask her to delete it. And now I guess it's like back up again.
What the fuck?
And I was just like, oh my god. And there was just something, I just think it's so funny that he's like a viral video star, but like unable to do anything about it. Well, it's funny, but it's also like terrifying.
I love though that this man is a journalist and didn't know what TikTok was. Like, it's literally your job to be on top of current affairs.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's doing that anymore, to be fair. Oh, okay. I think he's taken a step back. But yeah, like, what are the fucking chances that that guy who literally lives in London, like, never met, was on the homepage of my friggin' TikTok with his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend.
And truly
was, outrageous. That's too funny. But then I was like, well, at least I drew his attention to it, because I don't know if he particularly like wanted it to be out there. So I was like, well, at least now he knows and he can maybe like do something about it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's that thing as well, like, he obviously, if he's trying to sort of move on and date and stuff, and she keeps posting this video everywhere saying me and my boyfriend, like, people are going to see it and people are really going to get the wrong like idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those like really weird things where you're just like, what just happened?
That's hilarious. Okay, you really dodged a bullet there though. Like, that just sounds like such a complex situation that nobody has time for.
Well, then I went down a black hole of looking at her TikTok. And she just had a bit of an odd energy. Like, she is how I imagine I could have turned out if I'd have gone to a private school in the UK,
right,
as opposed to in Europe, because she's very like, what I did with my day, I went to People Watch in the cafe in town, and then I went to the letter and there was a letter in the letterbox. And, you know, like, dressed in like vintage stuff. Like, one of the videos is just her kind of dancing to 1930s music and like mouthing to Vera Lynn. Then I think she like published like obviously a book of like a stream of consciousness poetry about like corner shop vodka and like, you know, the sticky pavements and honeysuckle and,
oh my god,
you know the kind of like genre of person I'm talking about, right?
Almost like a Kate Nash kind of a vibe.
So yeah, like, so Kate Nashy, but then with like this sheen of like private education and very like, oh yes, isn't it wonderful? I was born in the wrong era.
Oh god, I hate people like that. I truly loathe it.
So
send me her TikTok. I mean, I literally don't have TikTok, but I will possibly download it just to see this.
I'll send you the video now that I've told you about it. And then the other funny thing is that my friends were like, because I sent it to a few people being like, lol, this happened. And my friends were like, I don't understand how he could be into you. Well, or was into you at one point, presumably, but then also into this girl. Because they were just like completely opposite energies. Which I, like I say, I disagree with. I reckon there's probably more of me in her than I care to admit. But... here we are.
Just got a broad ranging spectrum of taste.
Anywho's, we're incredible. Back for the Berkshires round two.
So excited. God, I love this episode. This was like great, just trash TV.
This was Roni back at where it needed to be, I think.
Absolutely. It was less nasty drama. I mean, obviously we had a little bit at the start, but it kind of panned out into exactly the kind of messy socialite-y drama that we live for.
I felt like a lot happened, but at the same time it wasn't like too much to cram into my tiny brain, you know.
That's like the perfect balance. I think it's so important that you have like, you feel like you're constantly engaged in the storyline rather than checking what, you know, how long you've got left or whatever.
But yeah, or like scrolling on ASOS.
Yeah. But you don't come away kind of being like, oh, it's just too much to unpack. I can't even wrap my brain around it.
Yeah, I thought, like you, I thought it was good for that reason. And I liked how it sort of opened up with a kind of vaguely surreal atmosphere. You just see like the plastic shark like strewn across the corridor, kind of panning shots of empty hallways. And then we see Ramona greeting the delivery driver, just being like, I'm a sloppy chick. Yeah. This is like fun Ramona. Fun Ramona really came out to play this episode.
She did. And this was kind of Ramona at her peak, I feel. Like, I do love, though, that all of this had taken place before it was even dinner time. I was convinced that it was going to be like 10, 11 p.m. No, wasn't even dinner time.
The way these women party will never cease to amaze me.
I would never be able to keep going with them. Truly, they would drink me under the table every time.
Even the way that Ramona talks about wanting to eat her like sloppy drunken takeaways is kind of sexy.
I mean, the stories that, like, that poor delivery guy, I love that she just escorted him through like fully telling him her life story about every bit of food that she'd ever spilled on herself.
And I mean, when Dorinda walks into the living room as well, you can kind of see that she's already off balance. So it's like, she's starting, you know, she's already like tottering about in her dress.
And those bizarre flat knee high leather boots that didn't match at all.
Oh, God. And then I felt so bad for Sonia, who was trying to like talk Lou down gently, you know, when they're at the like buffet bar. And I feel like Sonia's trying to like calm the situation and Lou is just having absolutely none of it.
Yeah, you can tell that Lou's almost like letting the beast out of the cage a little bit. Like, you can tell she's been like holding this inside, not like specifically towards Sonia, but it's been so long since she was this kind of messy, angry drunk that it's like it's all just spilling back out of her again. And there is literally no talking her down, no matter who's trying.
We need like a name for her cabaret monster alter ego. I want to go down like a Cerberus route, because that's obviously the three-headed dog.
Yeah.
Cerberus, like cabaret, I don't know. The components are there. Make of that what you will.
It can be a weekend project for us.
Yeah. And then, oh my God, when Ramona brings up that Sonia did a cabaret-style performance before everyone else, the way that Luann swoops in behind them when she hears what they say, that sent a chill down my spine.
It was like some kind of like shadow of death. Like, she just appeared from nowhere. I can't really believe that she actually managed to hear them, but somehow she just knew. And then the look on her face when Ramona was like saying, well, you know, it was good, she enjoyed like Sonia's cabaret and stuff, and the look that Lou had there, it was truly like the depths of evil.
She was furious. She was absolutely furious. And it was just like this really terrifying, like, low, like, what did you say? Oh, no.
It was ghastly. I did appreciate that Dorinda for once had a well-balanced comment, which was like, you're brilliant, she's brilliant, there's enough room for everybody to be successful and to be good at this, which is what I think almost startled me the most about Lou, was that it was this thing of like, somehow, because they said Sonia was also good at it, or Sonia did it first, that somehow it was taken from Lou, and it was so ingrained in her personality that it was like they'd ripped her soul out.
Well, that's the thing, and I do think that can be quite a female trait. I think a lot of the time we assume that if someone else is succeeding, that's automatically to our detriment. You know, like, I guess we've been conditioned to kind of be pitted against each other.
Yeah.
And I see that less with men. I think men are just less prone to comparison with each other, because maybe partially society and also partially like self-imposed, they're just kind of better at like zoning it out and just being like, well, I'm going to do my thing. Whereas I think as women, we often feel like the grass is greener and we're kind of always looking sideways and being like, what's she up to, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of ingrained in us from such a young age as well to be competitive. And like, I don't know if it's a whole societal commentary on like the fact that women are less likely to succeed, so it feels more like a competition where we have to edge out the other women to win or something like that. But I mean, this is a true example of it.
I mean, yeah, also just like you say, tied up in Lou's, you know, utter narcissism and denial. But I certainly think that there's kind of other elements to it. And then it makes me laugh because then they flash back to Sonia, who's just kind of feeding herself, and she's like the little child in the corner, you know, when there's a kid and it's just like announcing its inner monologue and it's like stream of consciousness, but it's just out loud.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I think this, and I'm funny, I'm really funny. Which I love that. And Lou is just on this deluded rant. Her eyes kind of glaze over and she's not even fixing anyone's eyes. She's like darting around the room. She's like jabbing her fingers into the sky. And then you've just got this poor housekeeper trying to deflect and being like, time to eat.
This housekeeper was truly an unrivaled star of this week's episode.
Oh, she was brilliant. I mean, this whole kind of opening scene is what I imagine it's like to have children. And can I say, what a fucking contraceptive.
They should truly just show things like this in sex ed classes, because I think it would do a world of good.
Inspiring me to not only lock down my entire love life, but also just my ovaries in general. And you just know when Dorinda's fingers come out and she starts pointing, it's a bad situation. And she goes, you drunken fool. And she slurs, you drunken fool, which you have to appreciate in and of itself. And then we get the mugshot chat again.
I couldn't believe that she brought this up again. I mean, until this point, Lou was very, very much in the wrong. Kind of everybody else was in the right. And it was very much like, Lou is an island of incorrectness in the situation. And then Dorinda just totally turned it on its head, and it kind of negated a whole lot of what the actual issue was, because suddenly it was about this, and then it was about the fact that Lou had got upset, and then it kind of totally just railroaded it into a different direction.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that Dorinda keeps pulling this card because it's the one thing that Dorinda has to hold against her, because she doesn't have the moral high ground when it comes to good behavior, actually, and drinking. But if she says, oh, well, you know, it's on record that you assaulted someone or whatever it may be, you know, that's her one thing. And she has no empathy for the fact that Lou has just publicly relapsed with her drinking.
No, and I think that's a really important point as well, is that it is the one thing that Dorinda can sort of hold over her head of like, well, I'm never going to be as bad as you because I don't have a mugshot, I wasn't arrested. And I really think for Dorinda, essentially, it's just been a case of she's been in a better place at a better time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think she's any better or worse behaved than Lou is. And I can fully imagine that if she was in that scenario, she'd have probably been the one that got arrested. Do you know what I mean?
So it just feels I mean, Leah said it best when she said, look, we're all just a couple of drinks away from a mugshot. Do you know what I mean? Which is crazy as a comment in and of itself, but, you know.
Painfully true as well.
Exactly.
But I mean, it was that thing, like, it just left me feeling so conflicted, because until this point, I was a very clear, you know, Lou's in the wrong. She should be valuing Sonia. She should be paying Sonia. I appreciate that everybody's actually standing up for Sonia. And then it like just flipped into this whole other dimension of conversation where I was like, well, now I don't even know what the fuck's happening. Lou's crying. Dorinda's in the wrong now. Suddenly I feel sorry for Lou, and I wasn't really feeling all that sorry for her before this.
But again, I think because she is just so like deluded with her like incredibly mediocre like singing and performance, I think because everyone can see like the humor in that, even when she's getting nasty about it and rambling, you're just like, oh
yeah.
Because the subject matter is so ridiculous, you give it a bit more leeway. Whereas when Dorinda wants to start going on about like mugshots and like alcoholism, it doesn't have that underlying like lol factor.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a very valid point.
So I think Lou has been trying to kid herself that she can drink responsibly.
Yeah.
I think we kind of saw that plan go out the window here.
Yeah, I do feel bad for her, because it is that thing like we've said with like Leah and stuff like that, like, you know, you kind of, I assume you want to feel like you do have some control and you want to be bigger and better than alcoholism and dependency and things like that. But I do just think this was just a perfect example of why Lou really can't drink socially.
Yeah, it's she can't regulate it, and it's, yeah, again, tough to watch. And I have to hand it to Leah that at least for the first half of this episode, she was pretty well behaved. I mean, I have to say, my jaw was so tense for this, like, starting part of the episode. It was so stressful to watch when they just cut at one point to Dorinda, like, sloshing vodka straight into that tumbler. I was just like, oh, honey, no, like... I wanted to reach into the screen and like grab it away from her.
I know. And that was so much vodka, and that is more vodka than any human being needs to drink in one sitting, in one serving. And yeah, I was the same, where I almost felt like my fists were clenched. Like I was just waiting for it to get worse and worse and worse. And I mean, luckily Leah somehow diffused the situation, managed to turn it into quite a good night, which I was very, you know, appreciative of.
I do think as well, like, Sonia has this ability to laugh things off. And, you know, I think if Dorinda hadn't have waded in, that Sonia and Lou would have slept it off and it wouldn't have been such a bad situation. And it's because Dorinda inserted herself and just escalated it that things went really haywire.
Yeah, and she just took it to a place where it didn't need to be. And like you say, I think Lou and Sonia have such a long-standing friendship that they probably would have sorted it out, like you say, pretty quickly, pretty easily. And it kind of all just felt like such a wasted night and a spoilt time, because obviously the next day everybody was fine. But yeah, I think because Lou and Sonia have been friends for so long, like, they would have worked that out just fine on their own. And then obviously we saw by the next day that everybody just immediately made up and it was all, you know, forgive and forget. So it just felt like it escalated into a place and spoiled the night so much more than it really needed to be.
Yeah. But, I mean, great TV.
Such fucking great TV.
So we learn that Dorinda considers that she gave Lou the whole kind of Giovanni skit. And this is where I'm like, I have to give it to Lou, because she took something that was leveled at her to try and tear her down and turned it to her own advantage, to her own benefit. And Dorinda fucking hates that.
I know. She just genuinely hates the fact that something that she tried to do as an insult and as a really shitty sly dig, she just hates the fact that Lou actually managed to monopolize off that and make it something that's funny and positive.
And I don't understand it, because Dorinda doesn't want for anything financially. So... Or is it limelight that she wants? Is it fame?
I don't know. Maybe she just has shares in Giovanni.
I did like that conjecture. Leah comes in to save the day and whisk her away to the pub.
Oh, I know. I mean, pub probably wasn't the best place to take her, but I imagine it's really all that she could do with her at this point.
I was very surprised at Leah's, like, Russian trophy wife jacket. I was like, oh, okay.
It was not like, yeah, it was not what I expected from her at all, but somehow she managed to make it look so cool.
Of course she did. She pulled it off. And that did look I'm hoping it was a vintage fur.
I know. It definitely looked real. We'll go with vintage.
Let's just pretend. So yeah, I think the tide was sort of turning against Dorinda over the course of this night. I think everyone gives Luann this buffer, the benefit of the doubt with her craziness, because like I say, the underlying cause of it is just so ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's that thing like I don't know. I think it is that there's something about Lou where it's like you forgive her a little bit more, obviously because of the alcoholism, and you can kind of forgive her for a slip and things like that. But it is, like you say, she just lives in such a bubble of delusional grandeur that you kind of just feel like, she's fine.
Yeah, you're like, she just crafts her own narrative. So yeah. It's like, you'll never be on the down and out because you are your own biggest fan. So like, yes. I'm not going to feel bad for you because self-esteem is just clearly not part of the discussion.
And it's clearly just never going to affect her too badly. Like, it's never going to get to a point where she's like, hey, maybe I'm not a great cabaret singer.
Just sitting down in the shower.
Yeah. I do also love that we had a classic Sonia moment where she clearly just can't comprehend chairs when she's drunk, because once again, she wipes out under the table and just does it with such a sort of chaotic energy. And everyone just kind of looks at her like, yeah, yeah.
She needs a little like, that's Sonia, like tagline or catchphrase for when she does her little like slapstick moments.
I mean, she's truly like a queen of physical comedy.
When Elise leads Sonia away from the dining room and says, it's 8 p.m. I, again, for the second time this episode, I had chills.
I cannot fathom being this level of like sloppy, chaotic drunk before it's even hit the fucking watershed.
Truly insane.
I mean, God love them though. And it's that thing, it's like the next morning, like everything's just fine, just is how it was.
I'm upset that we didn't see the pub footage.
Yes, I would have loved to have seen that.
I feel like that would have been gold.
Hopefully it's in some kind of lost footage thing. You know how they occasionally do that at the end of the
season? Our secrets revealed.
Yes, that's it. At the end of the season where it's like, oh, this is the stuff we didn't show you. I fucking pray that there is a pub montage of Leah and Lou making out. Leah clearly very sloppily hitting on this bartender. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Luann definitely hit on somebody, or three or four or five people.
I reckon they'll be stretching out the season on account of COVID, so I think you can bet we'll be getting some secrets revealed.
I also love that Leah was like, oh yeah, Lou really wanted to get up and sing, but you know, they weren't that keen on that idea.
Yeah, and I loved Sonia's law of partying where she's like, well, in the morning everything just gets reset.
Yeah,
it's like I like that for this situation, obviously, because that's why the show goes on.
Yeah.
But I also just massively disagree with it.
It never goes away.
So Luann has been staying at a hotel overnight. So Dorinda and Ramona try and call in the morning. And how do they get over this so quickly? It's insane. It suits both of them, and it suits both of their narrative to just erase their bad behavior. So they just go, oh, it's the wine. So, you know, it's almost like it cancels out. And then yeah. Ramona's just thrilled that they're sweeping it under the rug. So Ramona's like cheerleading it.
I know, it's such a weird thing. It's like they're both just apologists for each other's behavior. And I think it is that thing of like, Dorinda definitely is on the same level as Lou when it comes to alcohol and like her inability to handle it, because they both just go, oh, hey, you know, it was the rosé. It's fine. Nothing that happened last night truly happened. It's all alcohol. It's fine. And they're just like making excuses and apologies like on behalf of each other's bad behavior because of it. And whilst, like you say, it's great for us because it keeps the show moving and it keeps the episode moving, as like a real world thing, it's like you can't just be like, oh, hey, you know, I pushed you into a door and called you, you know, worse than shit because you had a mugshot, and I flipped out on you and like her and called her worthless and this, and then be like, rosé. No.
And I mean, I've obviously had times in my life where I've been very drunk, where I've been sloppy drunk, to paraphrase Ramona. I have never said something or done something where it was baseless. Do you know what I mean? So if you say someone, if you get drunk and declare your love for someone, that's because at the very least, you really fucking like them. You might not love them, but there's obviously truth to that. You don't just randomly, you know, pluck a statement from the skies and level it at someone for the sake of it. So there's always at least a partial truth in what you're saying.
Yeah.
So these are feelings that they both have.
And I mean, there's always that saying, you know, like a drunk mind speaks a sober heart or whatever. And like you say, like, there's definitely truth in that. And I don't think you can come up with these kind of things just off the top of your head when you're hammered. Like, there has never been a time where I've looked at somebody that I really love and really care about and be like, you're fucking worthless. Like, what the hell? Like, no.
Oh, I don't. Just the thought of going really quiet over a dinner table and then just like turning to a close friend and being like, you piece of garbage. But these women do this on a bi-weekly basis.
Literally every time they're together, at least one of them is just like, you're a fucking human trash.
And then Ramona does this little kind of testimonial where she's like, I think Dorinda doesn't realize that it really hurts her friends. And it's like, yeah, Dorinda doesn't realize that this behavior is hurtful because nobody fucking holds her accountable for her actions. And to be honest, Sonia does the same with Lou. I mean, Sonia, God bless her, she is a doormat. I mean, she is me. Yeah. Because I will just do anything to avoid confrontation. I mean, I guess I'm not a doormat in that I won't keep up a relationship with someone that I feel is like not adding to my life. But also, like, I am very happy to just be like, oh, it's fine, don't worry about it, just for the sake of like not expending energy on an argument.
No, I'm exactly the same. And I'm one of these people where it's like, if it's not going to bother me like this time next week, then I'm just like, it's not fucking worth it. It doesn't matter. But Sonia truly had a leg to stand on here. Like, she had such a good basis to be like, maybe things got out of control, you know, it shouldn't have got to that point, but I don't feel like you value my time. And that's really all she had to say. And yet it was this thing of like, no, it's over, it's done, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, and like, you're worthless, you're a worthless human being. I mean, true sort of, how would you say? True sort of estimations of value of a human life.
Yeah, and she just like, that's fine. It's easier just to say to Elise in bed the next day, just like, that's fine, nothing matters, you know.
I mean, it made me, Leah was really happy that she was the clear-headed one.
She was. I did love though that when Leah was just like, oh, there's a lot of like geriatrics and 9-year-olds, and Sonia was like, oh, I should have came, this is my demographic.
She knows her fucking audience, man.
She does. I mean, girl knows what she's doing, really.
So the way that Sonia and Lou are talking about this cabaret show at the furniture shop just made me laugh because they're so serious about it. And they make it sound like, you know, it's some like experimental piece of theatre, you know, performed entirely by a cast wearing like beige jumpsuits to kind of strip it of all its basic. It's like a comedy cabaret where you're essentially just banking off the backs of people like us who are just like, I will pay anything to breathe the same air as these women. And that's my only criteria for a good night.
Exactly. And it's like, to nobody else except people who are fans of the show and fans of them as like individuals, like nobody else really gives a shit of like them two riffing off each other or them two having a good time on stage or telling these stories. It's like, you have like a very specific demographic. You're not like putting on some Pulitzer-worthy like off-Broadway show.
Yeah, let's not pretend that anyone in that audience isn't just there because of the Real Housewives, right? There's no one there that's like into burlesque and theatre that's like, oh, there's this new act in town. It's called The Countess. Like, no, mate, it's all Bravo fans.
Exactly. I would just like to say, in addition, though, I was very heavily into Lou's coat in this scene. That, like, blue fur-trimmed.
Oh, yeah.
But really into that.
Much preferred it to the red.
Yes. I feel like it was a good colour on her as well.
Yeah, maybe- I like...
I was going to say, maybe she was subconsciously trying to go softer.
But again, oh yeah, that's a good point, actually, because the red was the raging.
Yeah.
And then the next day you have the pastel blue and it's toned back down. How she looks so good.
I.
The back of a hangover like that, I will never, ever know.
I know. I mean, I literally was expecting her to turn up like huge bags under the eyes, you know, a little bit disheveled, looking really tired and sort of a slightly pallid, like powdery look that the skin gets when you drank really heavily the night before. And she turned up looking like she literally just had like the world's best facial and a weekend spa trip in Bali.
And then she just stopped off at the gift shop of the hotel to buy a pair of like clear frame glasses, which just seemed like an odd buying choice on behalf of the gift shop. But I mean, they look great on her, but it's just like, oh yeah, I'll just pick that up on my way out. Why not?
And I just didn't feel very hurt, especially with the rest of this outfit. It became too much happening. It was just a weird choice all around.
We also learn that Frenchie is still a presence in Sonia's life.
I know. I can't believe I forgot about him when she was like, oh, I have a lover in Burgundy. And I was like, oh, Sonia. And I was like, Frenchie. And I was like, oh, God, yes, that young teenage boy baby.
Is it just me? And I don't have a particularly acute gaydar, but Sonia, to me, seems to often chat up men that appear to be, I would say, blatantly gay.
Yeah, no, she's always going on about how she hangs like with the gays, to paraphrase, which is a phrase I'm not sure how I feel about, but we'll go with it. And she seems to, her whole social circle seems to exist around like the gay community and things like that. Like, I know in one scene from years ago when it was like Heather and Carol era, like Aquaria from RuPaul's Drag Race is there.
What?
Yeah, like
that was so wild.
But yeah, and then she said something about like, oh yeah, like he's literally like in a scene where she's like hugging him and she's like, oh yeah, like he always comes and helps with my makeup and things like that. And I was like, sorry, what?
No, I don't know. I just get slight gay vibes from Frenchie. And I'm not saying because he's continental. I still get slight gay vibes from him.
No, I do as well. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's just a little bit flamboyant, or he just never seems like they have any sort of sexual chemistry.
Too well groomed as well.
That was a giveaway.
Yeah, like I don't know, I feel like he'd have like manicured chest hair, which is not a vibe for the untamed, like heterosexual.
Absolutely not. Although, can we just say that Sonia in that like the talking head bit where she's got that like abstract print shirt on, she looks phenomenal.
Like I say, whatever the hell Sonia did to her face that's now settled, my God.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. She's done well.
So then we get this lovely little detail about Leah peeing on a prince. And Luann has to be like, well, I've obviously had princely boyfriends.
Yeah.
But, I guess I've never peed on them.
And you can tell she almost took it as a personal slight that Leah has also done something more risque with a prince than she has.
Exactly, because let's face it, Luann wants to be in that very limited dating pool and doesn't want anyone else to skewer her chances.
1000%. But I just love that Leah was just like, well, when else are you going to get a chance to pee on a prince?
Also, you know that prince asked for that.
Oh, 100%. You know that was not her jam. That was very much a... He asked for that and she was like, well, sure.
Yeah, she was like, I'm a cool chick. Oh, Ramona wrestling with the loo back at the house.
Oh, God.
So embarrassing for this to be on camera. My true worst nightmare. But I do respect her for committing this to televisual memory.
Oh,
and I also love that at no point will she accept her hand in making this happen.
No.
Why must we uphold this lie that women do not go to the toilet?
I know. And when Leah was even asked it to her face, and you could see that she was like, no, no, just too much toilet paper. And then obviously she was unclogging it, Leah was like, it's a baby church. I fully burst out laughing at Ramona. Like,
this was a great scene. This was just peak Roni, seeing these women that love to talk about, you know, social class and money and big parties, just living an experience that is just so universally human.
And I mean, I love that they kept flipping between the clip of Sonia literally just drowning in that bubble bath. And then Ramona, like, elbow deep, still with what's presumed like a Cartier bracelet on her wrist, trying to pull tissue paper out of the toilet, but with more tissue paper.
I like how Dorinda comes in and just knows straight away what's happened and was like, oh, did you put these down the toilet? She was, like, on it. She was like, right, this toilet tissue consistency, not good.
She read
the situation.
And everyone's like, no, I know that the Kleenex for your face. And it's like, you know that you put those down the toilet. Just say. Just be like, oh, shit, I didn't know. I'm so sorry.
Sonia's bath also just looks like the most safe place in the world.
I think there's truly no place that I'd have rather been post the evening before than in that bathtub.
It looked so good. I had a bath this morning because I was just feeling really groggy. And it was like, oh, a good way to start the day.
Love a little like morning or mid-afternoon bath. I feel like it really resets me for the rest of the day.
Oh, there's nothing more luxurious. I actually, when I spent Christmas in Brussels and I was like for 2 weeks just by myself because my family was stuck here, I decided that true luxury was not about money. It was not about material possessions. True luxury was being able to have a bath in the middle of the day.
Oh, it's just, it's so like decadent, isn't it?
It's so naughty. And to just have like the time to like run it, get some bubbles going, sit in there, read and just unwind. And I was like, okay, like from now on, this is my definition of luxury.
I love that. I'm so into that. Like you say, it's not about the money or anything like that. It's kind of just having that, the luxury of like the freedom and the kind of, yeah, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. Nobody's going to tell me I can only bathe in the evenings.
I think as well, like as self-employed people, because we're constantly just flagellating ourselves sort of psychically for not working at all hours.
Yeah.
Like when you feel like you can give yourself permission to do that.
I know. And I think that's the thing. It's like, it's something that I try to be really conscious of, like you say, as somebody who is self-employed. Like, it's so easy to like, I literally get into bed and like, you know, I'll scroll through Instagram for a bit and I'll be like, I'll just check and see if I've got any emails and I'll check all my inboxes and things like that. And then I'll immediately just feel bad because I'm not doing that work. And it's been a few times where it's been like midnight and I've been like, oh, I'm quite awake. Instead of reading or maybe going back downstairs to watch a film or something, I'll just get my laptop and just do a bit of work. And it's like, no, I need boundaries.
So I like how Dorinda was okaying Leah's dick appointment. That was like fun hosting energy. The exact opposite to the Karen Huger hosting energy, I have to say.
Yes. I mean, literally could not be more polar opposite. But yeah, I was kind of expecting it to be a little bit funny, but I love that she was fully on board with this.
Yeah, and then we get like quite a few guests arriving and there's just like a sudden increase in the yuppie energy.
Oh my god, 100%. And I kind of, it looked like simultaneously the worst and best kind of party to be at.
I would have killed to be at this party. I think it looked really, really fun.
It kind of seems like the sort of party where if you're at it from the beginning, like the get-go, it's really great because you're in it and you're kind of in the mix and you're instigating everything. But if you came in just maybe half an hour too late past the peak, it's chaos.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, who are you?
Yeah.
She, where am I? Okay, I do take what you mean for that.
Yeah.
And then I love this flashback of Elise and her alter ego. What was the name again?
Erica.
Erica. Just wrapped in that purple sheet.
Yeah. I also, again, another peak performance from Dorinda's housekeeper, where Sonia was rabbiting on about her blouse or something, and the housekeeper was just smoothing the top down and was like, you've got good boobs, it's fine, you've got great boobs.
Honestly I did love, and then I loved when they were all like dancing at the end and like she's like dancing with all of them.
I love that, and it was a really nice little sort of like finisher. But I love the return of Heather a little bit. I like that she was so shocked that Ramona dished out a compliment And to the point that Ramona backtracked and was like, I mean, I'm just complimenting her show, not her singing.
The fact that Ramona would then do that is just too funny. I thought Heather looked sharp as fuck in her black suit. I thought she looked amazing.
I love that fucking power suit. And I really liked Heather. I always really liked her in the old seasons. Like, I know she got a bit intense and a bit sort of bossy occasionally, but I really, really enjoyed her energy.
Heather is one of the housewives that you can tell is, like, base level a good person.
Yeah, 100%. Like, she's got a really good, like, core value. Oh, I loved her.
So, I love her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Which you already knew. But like I say, I love, like, a short but quiet man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't deal with short men that have short man energy where they feel the need to compensate by being loud. But I like a short, silent man.
Yeah, he's, like, confident in his shortness.
Oh, love it. You know that she, like, puts a saddle on him and rides him around the bedroom.
1,000%. Like, Heather is the one with the BDE in this relationship. Oh my God.
So we start the dinner, and can I just say the chicory starter was insane.
It was ludicrous. I mean, considering that was just for a fucking dinner party at somebody's house, not like in a restaurant or a big event. Ludicrous.
But then I love how he had to make it creepy, and he was like, yes, I'm deflowering all of you.
Yeah.
And watching it blossom. And it's like, mate, you've just managed to make chicory sleazy. Like, do you know how much of a stretch that is? I mean, I guess I should be congratulating you.
Yeah. I mean, truly, it's a feat all by itself that he managed to make that creepy.
Proof that I am from the coolest country on the planet. Chicory is actually the, like, national emblem of Belgium. Truly, like, the shittiest vegetable to, like, represent your country. Anyway, it's called Witloof in Flemish. Oh,
right.
Like, to the point where there's, like, a concert venue in town where it's like, oh, are you in the Witloof room, or
oh my God,
or are you in it? One of them's called the Witloof bar, and one of them's called the orangerie. It's like the orange farm or whatever. But yeah, Witloof. I mean, can you think of something more, like, bland? And then they always do, it's like Witloof in, like, cheesy sauce. And that's, like, one of the national, like, dishes, which is so... Kind of,
like, when they do, like, cheesy leeks kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, it's like a cheesy leeks kind of moment. Oh, and it's just like, no, not for me. So then we get this little cameo of Ramona talking to this guy sitting next to her. And I reckon Rory from a couple of episodes ago has sent an undercover matchmaker to try and persuade Ramona to find a nice man.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're one percenters. And he's like, I'm not. And she's like, I didn't mean you.
Me and Dorinda.
She has such a one percenter mentality. She has such an us and them mentality.
Yes. And I think that's such an important thing with, like, Ramona, is she's so, like, set in this mindset of, like, oh, everybody that's not a one percenter is just jealous.
And I mean, she is a Trump voter. So, like, are we truly surprised?
True. No. That's very true. But she had this whole, like, philosophy that, like, men can't get hard if they don't make the same amount of money as her. And it's like, which men are you meeting? Like, wherever it is, stay away from that place.
Yeah, and I also just think, like, she's just base level ruling out so many people. And it's like, obviously she's hot for her age, right? We all get that. Obviously she's super successful. But the pool of people that aren't married is only going to be so big.
Yeah, it's only going to keep getting smaller as you get older.
And I certainly don't see Ramona being comfortable as the other woman, because that's what happened to her. So I do think she's trash, but I don't think she's a homewrecker.
No, 100% not. And I think she's just one of these people where she can't seem to get out of this, like you say, like this us and them mentality, where anything below the 1% is like so out of her, like she's so out of their league, or they're so J class A. And it's like, no, you'd probably be quite lucky to find a really nice person in that group of people who probably doesn't give a shit that you make more money than them.
I think she needs to take a leaf out of Leah's book and be like, I just want a guy, like, yeah. I love broke guys.
Yes.
Where she was like, he's into casual living. That means he has no money. I think Ramona, just for the night, just to, like, chill her out a bit, you know?
Needs, like, a bit of scruff.
Yeah, go with a bartender. Go with a barista. Like, come on. Barrister, barista. You can go with barista for a bit of fun.
She needs to just learn to live a little bit. She needs to let go of all these rules and restrictions. But I fucking loved Leah so much when she was like, I couldn't see his face under all the facial hair and he's in casual living. I don't know what that means, but he's got no money.
I mean, I really was not into this bartender.
I was not. I think Leah could do so much better. I mean, he was fine, but she could have done so much more.
I have a bit of an issue with facial hair, but that wasn't the main problem I had. The main problem I had was that this man was still wearing a Livestrong bracelet.
Oh my god, I didn't even notice. I took issue with the wearing a beanie into a cocktail party that was clearly very upmarket.
Well, the beanie hat, yes, also upsetting. I could forgive because it was probably cold outside.
Yeah.
You know, he probably needed to transition to acclimatise. That's fair enough. That yellow rubber band around his wrist.
I can't believe I missed it.
That just shows me that this is a man that is not only into casual living, this is a man that is not engaging with the news cycle on even a very superficial level. Is he still living in 2007?
Quite possibly. He possibly still has a MySpace page. He's probably never really got on board with the whole Facebook thing. Certainly never migrated to Instagram.
Never made it. A fallen soldier. Oh, and then I love that basically Dorinda just hijacks him and goes into like a detailed genealogy and a history of the local region.
Yeah, and there's like that full just like scene where she's totally monopolizing him. She's telling him every tiny detail. And I just, again, I love the editor thing of the time lapses time in the pie. And Leah's just like, can you put more vodka in this, please?
So we got this really, I think this episode was nice because you had this big drama at the start and then you had, I guess, the negotiation of it. And then it finished off with this nice kind of closure. You know, it felt like it was wrapped up in a little bow where it was like, everyone's just having a good time. Like the atmosphere is light.
Yeah, like everyone's mounted each other in various chairs and is kind of slobbering on each other's faces.
Elise and Leah making out.
I love that, you know. I was just heavy into that. I love that she was like, yeah, Leah's the kind of person that Erica would be, you know, find quite attractive, so why not make out?
Is it weird that since you told me that Elise is into, like, crypto, that I'm, like, more attracted to her?
No, I think it's just such a wild fact. Like I say, I was just, you know, casually perusing her Instagram and things like that. And, yeah, I was a crypto trader. I was like, surely not. But yeah, fully legit, that's her job. I refuse to believe that that's all she does or all she ever has done. But I'm into it for her, really into it.
And I love the detail of her husband being an ex-theoretical physicist.
Oh, I know, what a dream. I can so see that for both of them, though. And I was watching Leah's story from the weekend, and she was, like, at Elise's house, and they were riding around in a little golf buggy, and, like, Elise's house looks fucking amazing. But then there was a scene where it was like Elise and her husband were like starting to work out and Leah was just watching them like, oh, couple goals.
I love that. I wonder if the husband's okay with it. I don't know. There are a couple of guys that have said to me like, oh, if you kiss a girl, that's cheating.
I know. I don't really know where I stand on it. It's kind of a weird thing. I sort of understand both sides of it. Like to some people, it's like, well, kissing anybody's cheating regardless. And to other people, it's like, well, particularly if you're not, you know, obviously bi or what have you. And it's not like an attraction thing. It's more like a, I don't know, like a friend thing.
Well, yeah, but then why are you doing it?
Yeah, it's a very confusing grey area.
So I would say it's not cheating. Because I would say it's apples and oranges. And I would say you can't really compare the two. But then I also understand that if I was in a relationship with a bi guy and he also wanted to kiss or do, you know, physical things with another guy, then that would also be like, oh, but that could also then lead into a relationship potentially.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, would you allow that first step to then that possibly happening?
Yeah, I know. It's such a weird thing, isn't it? It's like, I don't really know how I would stand. Like, I would like make out with a friend and I wouldn't think twice about it, but I don't know how maybe Greg would feel about it, or kind of whether that would be something that was weird to other people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and like I don't date women, so yeah. I would always know that it's not going to go any further than a certain point.
Yeah,
same. But then, you know, what, is someone just going to take you at your word for that? Or,
well, exactly, because there's a lot of people obviously use it as like exploring the sexuality and kind of going, oh, maybe I would date a girl, or maybe, you know, I do find women attractive and that sort of thing. So it's kind of all just a very blurry gray area where I guess everybody just has their own specific like individual boundaries with it.
Yeah, you could like play yourself and set someone up to like meet the love of their life.
Yeah.
But then part of me is like, well, if that was gonna happen, then it was always gonna happen.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but clearly Elisa's husband didn't give a shit.
No, this has gone way too deep, but I'm just thinking about these things like in advance, because I'm like, well, if I do start seeing someone, you know, in the near future, I guess this is a conversation to have with them.
Absolutely.
So next week is the party that goes out of control.
Oh, I'm so excited, truly. It looks like it's maybe a party for Avery. I can't really tell. Maybe that's why Ramona gets so unhinged about it, but
would Ramona consent to filming that?
That's true.
I don't know.
I don't know whether she maybe works. I mean, was it Avery's birthday, like in very, very early seasons?
Maybe it's not the fact that it's Avery's birthday, but Avery obviously arrives with her friend, so maybe it's the fact that Avery was even just a presence.
Yeah, which kind of,
because if she's around these women as like mum's friends,
yeah,
and they're behaving like that, then maybe she's worried that Avery will be like, oh, these are the people you hang out with.
Yeah, exactly. Or that her friends will go back and sort of be like, can you believe what Avery's mum's friends did? And then that'll cause a whole drama. Because to me, it kind of really just looked like it was a lot of, like, Dorinda, Lou and Leah doing some kind of weird humping on a table conga kind of thing. And then Sonia smashing up a mirror.
Yeah, so the Sonia mirror was the most shocking to me.
I thought they weren't going to show us who that was. I thought they were just going to leave it with, like, the feet stamping on the mirror on the table. And then it was like, oh, no, that's definitely Sonia.
And did she have something on her head?
I think it was a light fitting.
Anyway, whatever happens, Dorinda, Ramona is not here for it.
I'm
really looking forward to seeing this meltdown. I'm not going to lie.
So far, the fourth wall. They're just like, where are the producers? Get the producers. You can't show this. And I love that.
When that fourth wall tumbles down.
You know it's real then. You know that that's real, because that shit was not meant to be addressed.
And I think that's why we go mad for it as an audience, because that is the moment where you realise, like, there's not been any producer sticking their oar in or setting things up. Like, this is pure unadulterated.
Yeah.
Just events unfolding on film.
We did also get a little sneak preview of Ramona telling Mario that she loved him, and him just being like, oh, isn't that nice?
Oh, that was so cringy. It's like, tell the fucking mother of your children that you love her. Like,
you can love her as a friend. You can love her for the memories. You don't have to still be in love with her. You can just say, I love you too. I'm really glad that we have this family.
Like, exactly. And deflect in other ways.
And also, it looks like Lou is speaking at some kind of convict support group thing.
Well, was it? Or was it Alcoholics Anonymous?
It could be AA, actually. That would make sense.
I think it was AA, possibly.
I mean, I think next week's episode, let's say, it's going to be incredible. I don't know how many episodes we've got left of this season, actually.
I don't know. I don't want it to stop. I'm not prepared for it to end. Especially, Beverly Hills, I'm sorry, but really, what the fuck has happened all season?
Oh my God, it's been so shit. And it's just exactly what happened basically in the last series, where there was a non-issue, and then somebody like Kyle was like, but I feel like you're mad. I feel like you're mad. And Denise is going, but I'm not mad. And they literally just will be like, will not let it go to the point that it's like, well, yeah, of course I'm fucking mad now. I'm mad that you won't leave me alone.
It's Kyle just gaslighting, essentially. And I find Kyle, I don't understand why everyone loves Kyle so much. I find her to be singularly uninteresting, you know, especially without kind of Kim to kind of bounce off. Yeah. And I don't find her a compelling person. I don't find her life compelling beyond very base level sort of luxury porn, you know, like, yeah. Wow, look at that house. Look at all those things. I don't think she has any depth to her.
No, I don't either. I think she's truly one of the most boring people that I've ever witnessed on reality TV. And it still surprises me that she's made it this far. Like, I don't understand how she's still on the series.
Well, I think we're very much in the minority with it. I mean, people seem to be really... I guess maybe if you are more invested in, like, the child star storyline.
Yeah.
But...
I even say. I mean, it just, yeah, I just know. I find her truly insufferable.
I'm glad you agree.
I used to find her, you know, perfectly fine at the beginning. But obviously, as it's gone on, she's just hideous. And I can't stand her. I wish they would get rid of her, truly.
And now that she is, like, Queen Bee in inverted commas as well.
Self-appointed.
So you can follow Faith on Instagram at Faith_Elizabeth, 2 H's in Faith. And you can check out her work on faithrichardson.co.uk. You can follow me on Twitter at Louisa G. Rogers and check out my website, louisarogers.net. And you can follow this podcast on Instagram at Bravo and the Brits. So we've been brainstorming a way to sign off from these episodes, and we couldn't come up with anything. And then it came to me in a vision, in a bathtub-based vision this morning, where I thought we could sign off with one of our key takeaways for the episode. Think of it as a maxim to repeat to yourself. Think about it as a mantra, a motto, something to live your life by. Maybe even an etiquette rule in some instances.
So, co-sign, I agree. Wholeheartedly agree.
So our rule for life this week, never trust a set menu that doesn't begin with a chicory reveal. Thank you and goodbye.